trading. This is the guy with the five screens on social media, with the beach outside his window. This is a fictional character. This character does not exist, I can assure you, because I had five screens and I was nowhere near a beach. In fact, I was unable to use the bathroom. I was unable to eat lunch properly. Trading, it sounds cool, but it's not actually how you want to live your life. Welcome to another lovely episode of Really Rich Principles. Today we're talking about really rich finance, investing basics 101, investing my way. This is going to be a lot different than anything you've seen on the internet. Man, there's some bad information out there. I hope to dispel that. This module is brought to you by the Entrepreneur's Field Guide book and digital guided course. This thing is amazing. I've spent 100 plus hours building it, 3 months of my life. It all got rolled into this amazing video series. You can get it at nicholascrown.com. I highly suggest you check it out if you're starting on your entrepreneurial journey, if you want to make more money, if you want some freedom in your life, you get it at nicholascrown.com. All right, back to finance. How does this video work? This video is organized in a way that I hope will allow you to absorb as much information as possible. So please take your time, walk through the video in order. I'm going to define a lot of concepts in a new way that you probably haven't seen before. There's something in here for beginners and advanced investors alike. If you wanted to jump around, I'll provide a table of contents and as well, although I really suggest that you take your time and you stick around till the end of the video, because there is bonuses throughout. And this is one of the most comprehensive videos that I will make about personal finance. A little bit of my qualifications, background on me, and some caveats. So I was a registered securities pro for 7 years. What that means is I passed the Series 7, 3, 63, long-ass tests that you need to do to actually play with these financial instruments and advise other people. I worked for two different bulge bracket banks. These are bulge bracket, meaning the largest investment banks in the world. I've managed billions of dollars of bond portfolios. I'm considered a sophisticated arbitrage trader. What that means is that I manage complex strategies. I don't just bet on things going up and down. I bet on multiple things widening or narrowing, spread trading. Of course, I currently manage my own portfolio, which is in the millions. I don't outsource this. I manage this myself because it's so easy, as you're going to learn. And I'm going to tell you something that you're not going to learn online, because nobody is going to break it down in quite this way. Finally, this is not financial advice. Do your research. I have to say this legally, or the really rich legal team will be on my back. We don't want that. So I start these videos out with why you should care. Now, getting investing wrong can ruin your life. Now, I don't mean that in some scare tactic kind of way. I mean, if you were to lose 50% of your capital, if you were to lose 50% of savings, you would have to go out there and make 100% returns just to get to even. Now, if you know where to get 100% returns, feel free to put it in the comments. I will be investing in whatever that sketchy strategy is that you found, because it doesn't exist out there in the wild. So taking extreme losses, it blunts your earning potential for the rest of your life. Okay, so if you misallocate and underinvest in yourself also, and you take all your money and you stick it into the market, you're also causing serious problems. Many people take money that they should be using to make their life a little bit more comfortable. Maybe they have some opportunity to invest in something that will make them happier, and instead they feel that they have to take it and stick it in the market. Another pitfall is mismanagement of the nest egg, meaning mismanagement of your investment capital, going in and taking money out of it too early. This destroys the magic of compound interest. Compound interest looks like a J-shaped curve in the long run, and this is why it's so magical. Now, if you were to take money out of it, it starts to look like a little bit of a molehill, a little bit of an anthill, okay? And that's not what we want when we turn 60 and expect to have a few million bucks in our investment account. Also, armchair stock picking, you know, sitting there with the news on and the trading screens and whatever, it's just going to distract you from actually going out there creating value, building a business, whatever it is. So this video is about how to be lazy and generate passive income. This is not about how to sweat. This is not about how to have five trading screens and, you know, pretend that you know what's going on in the market. That is not what we're going to be talking about here. I want you to kick back with an espresso or your favorite beverage, and I want that income to come in passively, and I don't want you to rack your brain about how to do this. I want to keep it very, very simple, and simple works. It's the same strategies that I use, by the way, okay? Getting trading and investing confused, not understanding the differences, it's going to cause you a lot of stress, so I'm going to define those. Also, you're going to buy stuff that you don't need, and you're going to listen to idiots, meaning people on the news, people shouting advice on Twitter, whatever it is. You just would be better off closing your ears and closing your eyes and doing something else. It is a complete waste of time to listen to financial advice from people on the news and newspapers, magazines, Twitter, whatever it is. It is just absolutely pointless because they don't know what they're doing either, okay? This is about staying rich, not getting rich. And this is what a lot of people get wrong about investing. To get rich from investing, you need to do one of three things. And this video is only going to touch on one of those things, and you're going to see why. So number one, you can get rich from investing by taking extreme amounts of risk, okay? We are not going to be talking about that because I do not suggest that you do that. It is way, way too dangerous. Number two, invest over an extremely long period of time. We can do that. That is something that we can manage. Number three, have other people's money and take a fee, meaning start your own hedge fund, start your own trading firm. That's not what this video is about. That's a lot of work. I'd rather you guys, you know, save your time and energy and do this the easy way. So let's talk about investing over a long period of time. This means passive income. Passive income means you're not working hard or actively managing your portfolio. It's the same thing in other markets. Passive income does not mean, okay, managing an Airbnb. That is a lot of work. Passive income does not mean refinishing and flipping houses. A lot of work. So we're not going there. We're talking about truly passive income. Otherwise, you need to be a full-time money manager, which I don't suggest you do that. If you want to, be my guest. But I think there's a lot better things for you to do with your time. Now, I'm not going to suggest you take extreme risk because you can likely find better returns investing in yourself than you can taking crazy risks in the market where you have no control. And also, I hope that you're generating other predictable income in other areas of your life where you have a lot more control. So in this video, you're going to be lazy. And trust me, this is where lazy is a good thing. I know I mentioned real estate before in passing, but this is important. We're talking about financial assets. So financial assets are not real estate, are not physical assets, are not commodities like crude oil, like gold, or collectibles like Pokemon cards, okay? As much as you want this video to steer in that direction, guys, it's not going to. Financial assets, why are we talking about financial assets? Because you generally don't have to sweat with financial assets, at least not literally, of course. If your portfolio is going down, that might cause some a little bit of perspiration, as I've experienced in the past. But generally, these are more liquid. They're more safe. You can get in and out of them a lot faster. If you go and buy a commercial property somewhere, you know, there's only a few buyers that are lining up, you know, you might lose money just on that transaction alone. So real estate is a comically bad investment for small investors. I don't know why it's so popular. I think it's popular because it's easy to understand. People know what a house is. People know what renting a storefront, you know, looks like. And financial assets, which is definitely the best way to generate passive income, just sort of gets pushed to the side. And I think it's because people don't understand it. And no one's really taking the time to educate anyone on how simple it really is. Also, this is critical. The earlier you start investing, the better. The whole deal here is you could be lazy, but you need time on your side, okay? So compound interest, this is when you see the charts with that J-shaped curve of, oh, wow, 10 years, oh, 20 years, 30 years, oh, my God, I've got millions of dollars. You need a long period of time. What's important to know about this is you can never reach in to the cookie jar. So 20 years down the road, you can't say, I need money for a new car or a house and pull that out of your portfolio. That's how you just kink that curve. And instead of a J, it becomes kind of like a little mound, right? And it just will level out. And you're never going to get the millions that way. You'll only be harvesting from your cookie jar, your nest egg, whatever you want to call it, later in life. The good news is, though, is that if it's large enough, if the portfolio is made up of, you know, common stock and bonds, index funds, you can borrow against this thing for an interest rate if you need cash without having to sell the stock and hurting your returns. Here's an episode breakdown. I like to stay organized. I like you to know what's coming up in the video. I hope you watch it in order, but do feel free to skip around to different sections if there's a specific topic that you're most interested in. So first, I'm going to cut through some definitions and some concepts that you definitely need to know, and you definitely need to hear it from me because you probably heard it the wrong way before. You've certainly heard it in a way that is more confusing. I want to keep things simple. We're going to start with that. Then we're going to move into section one. Allocation, fancy word for how much and what and of what. Am I right? So what percentage of your income should you be investing? What's your risk tolerance? And what do you have to do with it? These are the questions that we're going to be answering in section one. Section two, we're going to do a stocks masterclass, all the things that you need to know about stocks as a new or intermediate investor. Most importantly, why you shouldn't pick them, why you should buy a broad-based piece of the market like a low-cost index fund. And we'll talk about your fun basket, picking a few little sweeties in there so you could feel like a trader and have a little fun. Section three, we're going to talk about bonds, fixed income, what's yield and the types of bonds out there, the different types of instruments. Believe it or not, there's more than one type. A lot of people can issue bonds, not just the U.S. government. Bonus, we got to have a bonus at the end, okay? So I'm going to end with alternatives, alt. Sadly, this is probably what you know the most about, okay? Even though these are way riskier, way liquid. These are the things that are peddled online and on social media. And so everyone knows about alts, but I'm going to approach this at the end my way. So make sure you stay tuned to the end of the video because we're going to have some fun with alts, alternative investments. So anyway, it's anything that's not a traditional investment, stock or bond. And I say, hint, risky. Okay, risky, risky, risky. What is investing? You're probably saying to yourself, Nick, I'm watching the video. I know what investing is. But I bet no one's defined it before. Certainly, they haven't defined it this way. My definition of investing is it's putting capital to work that will hopefully underline, generate real value in society, meaning there's innovation, there's value being given to customers, there's great services being provided, and they're going to return a portion of that money to you proportion to the amount of capital that you put in. That sounded like a mouthful. You take capital, you give it to someone to put it to work, you create real solutions and real value, and then for the investment, they give you a little piece of the value back in the form of more money. Now, investing takes time to be realized. It is absolutely critical that there is time here. This is why there is no such thing as get rich quick. You need time, okay? We can all get rich quick slow. In the words of Warren Buffett, we can't get rich quick when it comes to investing. Notice how I didn't say anything about betting on a stock going up or down. That's not investing. That's gambling. Maybe that's trading. Ultimately, the price of a stock can go every which way in the near and medium term. But over the long run, we're going to talk about it. It should go up if you buy a big enough piece of the market, not an individual stock. And I'm going to prove that to you. Trading versus investing. There's a huge difference here. Trading is a full-time job. Investing isn't a lot of work. In fact, you're going to feel like you should be doing more. You're going to feel like you are a slacker, but you have to be a slacker when it comes to investing. Trading, this is the guy with the five screens on social media, with the beach outside his window. This is a fictional character. This character does not exist. I can assure you, because I had five screens and I was nowhere near a beach. In fact, I was unable to use the bathroom. I was unable to eat lunch properly. Trading, it sounds cool, but it's not actually how you want to live your life. You want to be kicking back on that beach with that passive income coming in. You don't want to be sitting there with five trading screens, losing lots of money, which is exactly what you'll do if you try to become a trader, especially if you try to become a trader and think it's not hard work and not a full-time job. All right, what's an investment thesis? You might have heard this thrown around before. This means having an idea and going out in the market and proving it. Sounds fancy. You know, my example here is, because battery engines will be soon mandatory, I believe the price of Tesla stock will increase with pent-up demand by 2025. This is your thesis. And then how do you test your thesis to know if you're right or wrong? Well, you wait until 2025, and then you decide if the price is higher or lower as a result of the growth of the company. Why do things go up and down? Good question, right? on a case-by-case specific, it has to do with the company, meaning the company's growing, the company's shrinking, more people are buying their products and services, the economy as a whole is going up, and so the company is anticipated to grow and the stock goes up. This can get complicated, but as a whole, this is the magic, guys. This is like the biggest secret in this video. As a whole, stocks go up because of two factors over the long run, and this is it. Growth, meaning innovation as a whole, and inflation, planned inflation, is part of our monetary policy. So money gets devalued and the price of assets goes up over time, period. And over time, here in the United States, we traditionally innovate and grow. So if you stretch out your timeline long enough, you're going to win owning stock. How do you do it? Okay, how do you own a big chunk of the market instead of an independent company, an individual company? Use something called an index fund. So an index fund is just a basket of a group of assets that have something to do with each other. In the case of the stock market, we call it the S&P 500. That's a basket of the 500 largest market cap stocks. So 500 largest market cap stocks in the U.S., that is a pretty darn good representation of the economy as a whole. Why do you want to own a piece of the market? Why do you want to own an index fund? Because you want to benefit from the two factors we just talked about, long-term growth and inflation. So when I say buy stocks, what I'm referring to is buying an index fund like the Vanguard 500. Not recommending this specific index. It's just one of the largest, very, very simple and easy to buy. And you're buying a huge chunk and a huge diversified piece of the economy as a result with the click of a button. So we'll refer to this as the market. Sometimes people say the market's going up, the market's going down. What they really mean is the S&P 500 is going up or going down. Our market's fair and efficient. Over the long run, sure, but over the short term, definitely not. In fact, we've had some of the most crazy moments in history, the world's craziest trading moments. This would definitely be the tulip boom in the 1200s in Amsterdam. The price of tulips at one point were more valuable. The price of a single tulip was higher than a boat, okay? So markets can get highly emotional and irrational, okay? COVID masks, at some point people were buying COVID masks for $5, $6, $7, $10. A mask, when they cost 1 cent to manufacture, of course, supply and demand here, but tons of emotion, tons of speculation. Beanie Babies and other collectibles, cute little plush toys, sure, but is a specific character really worth $1,000 or $2,000? The price of these Beanie Babies have moved over time as they've gotten popular and unpopular, and other collectibles you can toss in there as well. Finally, you'll make less mistakes if you think long-term. So long-term is the way to go here. Long-term means you're going to make less mistakes. You're going to benefit from what? Growth and inflation. I got to define this, guys. The difference between investing and gambling. For many, nothing at all. You've confused gambling and investing so much that you actually are doing the same thing. So gambling traditionally is an entertaining wager where the odds aren't known and are unlikely in your favor. I'll go as far to say as they're not in your favor, okay? But if you're sitting there at the roulette table, it's not in your favor. If you're playing against the house of the casino, it's not in your favor. The chances of winning are entirely out of your control, so you know, you might have some telepathic abilities and you can see where the ball is going to land on the roulette wheel. Probably not, okay? I love this example. Brown horses don't win over the long run in a horse track. So over the long run, gambling does not have any kind of information that's at your back. Buying a piece of the stock market. Remember, you've got growth and inflation. Thank you, class. Is trading or investing supposed to be fun? It depends on your interests, but definitely not, okay? Gambling is fun. Trading is stressful. Investing is boring. In fact, the greatest investors of all times, like Warren Buffett, is sitting around reading for most of his day. Sure, he's getting more informed on what he owns, but he's kicking back. He's not sitting there actively trading in and out of positions. He is playing the growth and inflation game, just like you should be playing. Investing should be boring, although you might get some intellectual stimulation depending on who you are. The most important thing is the less that you do, the better. So if a lot of activity is fun, if you like trading, this isn't for you because This has been studied. The more you trade, the more you adjust and monitor and buy and sell, the frequency of your trades going up, your returns are going down. So this has been studied at scale. Some of the world's largest brokerages have discovered that the most frequent traders are the ones that are losing, okay? Don't let that be you. This is important to know. Your best returns probably aren't in the stock market. I'm going to tell you to invest a lot less than you think you should in stocks and bonds, and here's why, okay? Your vantage point, you know, you're sitting there, you're not a professional practitioner. Maybe if you have a knockout year because the market went up, you got 15% of your money back. Wow, huge, incredible returns, right? That's insane for stocks, but pathetic for a personal investment. I'm going to give you an example. So let's pretend you went back to school and developed a certain skill that got you a high-paying job. You would hope you'd make more than 15% on that investment. Let's pretend you sat down with your boss. You say, I want to take a few extra hours every week. I can assure you, you're going to make more than 15% taking those extra hours. Maybe you want to take an opportunity to start your own business. I can assure you, you would make far more than 15% return on whatever it is, your time, your money, by starting your own business. Even if the first couple failed, the final one would make up for it. So the best way I've ever heard this put is legendary crude oil natural gas trader Mark Fisher. He said, why are all these dentists trying to become traders when they could just buy another dentist chair? Why are you taking your millions of dollars and putting it in crude oil, natural gas, and trying to be a trader when you could just expand your dental practice? Let's take a lesson here, guys. Let's not be like the dentists trying to become traders. Let's just expand our own business and use our own skills and insight to make more money. Okay, how do you approach all this? We've got a great intro to how all this works, but how do you actually approach this? I call it dead capital, D-E-A-D, capital. This is what you're investing. What does that mean? That means every month you've got some money left over. It doesn't mean that you take all of the money left over. In fact, some of that money should go back to you to improve your quality of life. Some of it should go, you know, to a comfortable bed or blackout curtains so you sleep better and your mood improves and all of a sudden you're more productive and your mind is, you know, operating a mile a minute. Maybe you need a new coffee machine, okay? And you feel, oh, well, I can't buy the coffee machine. I have to go invest. No. Dead capital, meaning I've got nothing to do with this, Nick, but take it down to the street to Johnny's Bar at happy hour and tie one on. So that's what dead capital is. You've never heard it this way before, but it's absolutely critical. Why do I say dead capital? Because if you take anything that you're going to need, you are going to go touch your principal, you are going to go plumb your investment account, and you're going to kill your compounding returns. So please, it's smaller than you think. We're talking 5% of yearly income at the most. And it's so small because there's other things you're going to need to invest in. Also, we don't ever want you touching the piggy bank. Like I said, never, ever, ever touch the piggy bank, because once you touch the piggy bank, you stop compounding and you change that curve from a J, remember, to a molehill. Section one, allocation. Allocation means what and how much. Okay, so oftentimes you've seen portfolios look like a pie chart, a little green chunk of pie for stocks and maybe a little blue sliver for bonds. You might think of your lunch bag every day as a whole pie chart. You've got a sandwich and a bag of chips that makes 100% of your lunch. Allocation is no different. It's just a mix between asset classes. So stocks, bonds, commodities, funds, and alternatives, all of these combined is your total allocation. And how you allocate this, in what percentage, will determine how your portfolio operates, how much risk you're taking, how much return you're going to enjoy over the long run. So before you can allocate anything, you need to ask yourself, what is my risk tolerance? Now, this is one of the most, you see this question, you go, you're moaning and groaning already because it's so, you've seen it before in a pamphlet, or, you know, maybe you just started your job and they've got some kind of questionnaire for your 401k, your retirement fund, whatever it is. But you really need to ask this, okay? And I posed this one question and a few other smaller questions. They're going to help you get a better answer. So grab your notebook and let's do this together. How much would it suck if you were to lose it all? Meaning I'm 19. You know, I just got my first job. I put $1,000 in, I lost it, and well, I'm okay. I've got plenty more years of career growth ahead of me. I'm going to be just fine, right? Or I'm 65, I need $1,000 a month for my rent. If I were to lose part of my nest egg, I might not be able to pay my rent, and I might not be able to sleep with a roof over my head. Do you see how the risk tolerance there is entirely different? Number two, question number two, would you risk it all for a bigger return? So would you risk all of your capital to make a little bit more? I don't suggest that you start thinking this way. But if you say, hey, again, I just graduated. I see some opportunity here, here, and here. If I were to lose it for more money, can I accept that risk? Number three, are you relying on this money in any way, shape, or form? Do you have rent? Do you have a car payment? Do you have a home payment? Do you have education that you're paying off? Do you have a loved one that you're caring for? If the answer to any of this is yes, you need to make sure that you don't take that money and put it at risk, because when you put money at risk, it might not be there at some point. Also, how do you view retirement? This is a very personal topic. I don't view retirement as something that I'm going to just stop working and enjoy my 60s and 70s. I want to enjoy my life now, so I allocate a lot more capital to my quality of life now, as opposed to putting it and sticking it into the future. That's how I roll. Also, I'm an entrepreneur, so I have a lot different earning potential than if I was on a fixed salary. So this is how I operate. I generally invest a lot more into today and a little bit less than others into the future. So I'm practicing what I preach here in this video. This helps you determine your mix. So once you understand risk tolerance, you'll understand what percentage stocks, what percentage risk versus what percentage bonds, safety to buy. So stocks, I like to say this, it's like handing money to people who may pay you back, okay? Your crazy Uncle Tony, right, who's got wants to open a pizzeria and he might pay you back. Treasury bonds, handing money to the US government who will probably pay you back. Handing money to someone like Ray Dalio, one of the most legendary risk managers, someone like that, he'll probably pay you back. In fact, the US government is far more creditworthy. There isn't anyone else you could give your money to who's going to pay you back, because the funny thing about the US government is if they can't pay you back, they just make more money and hand you that money to pay you back. Your allocation between assets is going to change based on your risk tolerance. So Johnny might have a different allocation than Susie, and this is okay. It is highly personal. So please make your own choices here. This means stocks, bonds, or risk, safety, stocks being risk, bonds being safety. So more stocks, more risk, more bonds, less risk. And so here are a few common mixes. I've included three. Feel free to customize this and make it your own depending on your risk tolerance. The 90-10, I'm calling it the young and risk tolerant, meaning 90% stock, 10% bonds. This is for someone earlier in their career. They can participate from a long time in the stock market. They don't need to worry about getting any return, any fixed income return. They're not retired. They have a whole career ahead of them. So this is that young and risk tolerant mix, 60-40. This is the middle-aged and balanced. So you need a mix of income and potential upside. So 60% stock, 40% bonds. And then finally, the retired and predictable income, quite literally living on a fixed income. When you're retired, generally you have an idea of what your monthly expenses are, groceries, your home payment, your car payment, whatever it is. And you need to rely on that money. At this point in your life, your money should be in bonds, returning a predictable amount to you every month. It is not the time to be messing around with risk when you are retired. So the simple example here of $1,000 in the 90-10 split, 900 goes to stocks, 100 goes to bonds in this simple example, giving you a full portfolio of $1,000. So let's pretend you were rolling in the dough every month. You would allocate $900 to stocks and $100 to the bonds. Finally, it all depends on what's happening in the market. I will occasionally adjust my mix if I see a big slowdown ahead, if I see an opportunity to protect myself a little bit by adding a little bit more safety into my portfolio. I don't suggest that you worry about this, because you are investing over the long run, and we're going to benefit from what? growth and inflation. But just so you know, these levels do not have to stay fixed. In fact, just by you getting older should increase the amount of safety that you need over time. So as you move from the young and risk tolerant into the middle age, you should consider adjusting your portfolio accordingly. All right, the stocks part of the video. Everyone's like, stocks, we love stocks. Well, let me tell you about stocks. Okay, stocks represent ownership or equity of a company. So the company does well, they innovate, they sell more stuff. The value of the company increases most of the time because markets aren't perfectly efficient. Sometimes the economy is doing really poorly and it's pulling down the entire market, including your great company with it. But over the long run, your company does well, you'll do well as a shareholder. Stocks give you the right to appear at shareholders' meetings. You ever seen old movies like Wall Street, you'll see a speech from Gordon Gekko trying to convince the company to do what he wants as a shareholder so he can unlock more value. This is an example of a shareholder meeting. If the company goes bankrupt, you are the last to get paid. This is why stocks are riskier than bonds, all things being equal, because you are subordinate, is what it's called, to bondholders. So bondholders get paid first. Whatever's left over, that goes to stockholders. Okay, this is why stocks are riskier. Some stocks pay a dividend. So what a dividend is a share of leftover profits. The company makes a little bit of extra profits and they decide to distribute it as a dividend. You might get a few cents per share. If you're hunting around for individual stocks, you're working. So when we're talking about stocks, we're talking about them as an asset class, not individually. So how do you buy an entire asset class? I mean, Nick, that sounds like a lot. I have to buy, what, thousands of stocks? No, you buy an index fund. So the Vanguard 500, the iShares Core 500, this is a representation of the stock market, the 500 largest market cap stocks. Not a recommendation for either, but those are the two largest ones in the U.S. Bonds, bonds, bonds. Let me tell you, they're more fun than they look. Okay, they are more fun than they look. Okay, they're called fixed income instruments because they pay a fixed interest rate or yield. So let's pretend you have a 10-year government bond. It pays a 5% interest rate. Government bonds represent safety in your portfolio, specifically if they are U.S. Treasuries. We are only going to be talking about U.S. Treasuries in this module because we are using bonds as the most important safe harbor in our portfolio. So we're only investing in treasuries. Sorry, Detroit, we're not investing in the Detroit sewer bonds. We're going to keep it very straightforward here. How do you buy government bonds? Little bit more of a headache, but Vanguard, the VBTLX makes it easy. It's the total bond fund. Not recommendation, but it's an easy way to get bonds in your portfolio. Or you can buy treasuries direct. A little bit more of a headache, a little bit more complicated, but you can buy treasuries direct. There's generally a minimum. So depending on how much money you're investing, you'll determine if you can go and buy those treasuries direct. Where would we be if we didn't have a section about alternative investments? I'm talking, you know, the stuff you see on social media, the stuff that unfortunately you probably learned far more about than you learned about stocks and bonds. What's an alt? Okay, it's anything that's not a traditional financial asset. So this can be a wide variety of things, anything from shipping containers to fine art, to wine, to collectibles, to things that you've never heard of, okay? Even commodities get lumped in here. So there's unique aspects to every market. We're talking, you know, what's the difference between crude oil and an NFT? Well, quite a bit, quite a bit. So in these markets, risk is higher because there's less regulation, there's less scrutiny. Okay, there's also less participants, so prices can swing wildly. Also with less participants, there's less liquidity, meaning you can get in and out of positions a lot less easily than you can with a stock or a treasury. Finally, you might not be able to redeem your money at all. So with a hedge fund, for instance, which is an alternative investment, sometimes the gates go up and then you can't legally, contractually, take your money out. Scary stuff, depending on your experience level. But here's the problem. Alts are what everyone learns about before stocks and bonds because, oh wow, they just sound a lot cooler, a lot more fun. So funds, commodities, crypto, NFTs, collectibles, you've probably heard about this stuff more than you have about index funds. You've probably never heard of the bond index fund that I just mentioned. on the previous slide. So why is this, right? This stuff gets marketed to young investors. They're more susceptible to listening. They're more susceptible to buying things that are unregulated. So it's just a dangerous slippery slope. Depending on the asset, they might be completely unregulated altogether, like crypto. Okay. So what do you do with alts, Nick? You know, you talk about alts. What are you going to do? You should allocate an extremely small percentage of your portfolio to these alts. Small, 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 small. So if you want to add alts, consider them a even riskier asset class than stocks, and then you are going to only invest a small amount because this is capital that you are truly putting at risk. When something goes wrong in an alt, you may lose everything instantly. Now, I know holders of specific coins had experienced this during the crash in crypto. You choose the wrong coin, you go bust. This is something that is highly, highly unique to alts. It's very different than stocks, than bonds. And also, gold and oil, which is an alt, have intrinsic value. Altcoins don't. So it just shows how different and how informed you need to be about each market. For instance, gold is a component in servers, chips, cars, whatever. So even gold has intrinsic value. There's always going to be a use for gold. Fossil fuels, even as we switch to battery-powered vehicles, will still be powering something for quite some time. But the issue here is a frog coin. I'm making a joke here. A meme coin has zero use if people decide they like another one better and everyone just drops out of the market. So please, please, please be informed when you play with alts and limit your risk to a very, very, very small percentage of your portfolio. We've covered a lot. I want to do a quick summary of the most critical points here because, as I like to say, a little homework goes a long way. Determining the percentage that you're going to invest, 5, 10%, whatever it is, that small percentage of your dead capital, this is the first thing that you need to do. So take a look. Hey, how much money do I have left over? How much money do I want to invest? This is absolutely critical, and stick to it. Okay, so you're going to get emotional. There might be times where you want to invest more or invest less, but just stick to it and keep those deposits into your investment account regular. Keep them automated. Make it easy. I'm going to jump ahead to a bullet. Set it and forget it, meaning if you're doing 90-10, every month $1,000 goes out the door. If you're doing really, really well, that's quite a bit of money, but we're using it for ease. 900 is going to stocks and 100 is going to bonds like clockwork. And a lot of platforms will let you automate this from your paycheck, from your bank account. Determining your risk tolerance, this is something that's critical because this is going to determine your mix between stocks and bonds, risk, protection. Your 90-10, are you a 60-40? What is the mix that you're going to use? Stick with it early in the game, and you can always adjust as you get older and you have career changes and lifestyle changes. Perhaps you have a family and it's time to start getting a little bit more fixed income in your portfolio. Well, that's an opportunity to move from 90-10 perhaps to a 60-40 split. Finally, you're going to own stocks that might generate a little bit of dividend income. I want you to buy an index fund so you don't have to think, but let's talk about our little fun basket. You know, you could buy a stock here and there for fun. These might pay a dividend. You take those dividends and you'd be buying more stock with those dividends. What this is called is dividend reinvestment. You want to do this regularly. So pick a day on your calendar, do it twice a year, do it four times a year, and that's it. That should be the only trading you're doing, is reinvesting dividends. And finally, choose an investment platform that you like. Try them all out. It might be an app. It might be connected to your bank. It might be really cool looking and pretty. It might look really dull and simple. The most important thing is that you like it, that you play around with it. Take them for a spin. A lot of these platforms will let you sign up for free. See if it makes sense, see if you're confused. You don't need fancy charts. You don't need all the graphics and all the volume and all the chatter that comes along with a lot of these platforms. So pick the one that works for you. And of course, pick the one that's the most affordable solution and do your research there. Always more to learn at nicholascrown.com. The Entrepreneur's Field Guide digital course and book is available right now. Hundreds of hours of research and work and 3 months of filming has gone into this digital course. This is gonna get your first business off the ground. I highly recommend you guys check it out. It is an absolute masterwork of mine. I love it. I know you'll love it. Check it out at nicholascrown.com. And of course, if you found value in this video, don't forget to click like and subscribe and let me know how you're doing on your investment journey in the comments. I'll see you soon.